He revisits another topic, reinforcing his point at one instance from what God does, and at another from the very things they practice themselves. This strategy is not insignificant when defending any cause, when one uses the opponents themselves to demonstrate through their own actions the truth of his argument. So, what is he implying? Or do you want me to first share how those infected with the Martianite heresy twist this expression? I realize this will provoke much laughter, yet I will share it primarily to help you avoid this misinterpretation. Namely, when a learner among them passes away, they hide a living person under the deceased's bed. They then approach the corpse and converse with it, asking if it wishes to receive baptism. When there is no response, the hidden person speaks for the dead, affirming the desire for baptism, and so they carry out the baptism on his behalf, as if playing a farcical scene on stage. The devil has indeed great power over the hearts of negligent sinners. When held accountable, they refer to this expression, claiming that even the apostle said, "They who are baptized for the dead." Do you see the absurdity in their logic? Is it appropriate then to respond to such arguments? I think not, unless there were a need to engage with lunatics and their deluded arguments. But to prevent the most naive among us from being misled, it is necessary to also engage with these individuals. For example, if this was what Paul meant, why then did God threaten non-baptized individuals? It should be impossible for anyone to remain unbaptized from now on if this approach is acknowledged. Furthermore, the blame would no longer lie with the dead, but with the living. To whom did he speak? "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in yourselves." To the living or the dead, tell me? Again, unless a person is born again of water and the Spirit, they cannot see the kingdom of God. If this substitution is allowed and there's no need for the recipient's conscious decision or consent while alive, what's stopping both Greeks and Jews from becoming believers posthumously, with others carrying out these ordinances on their behalf after their deaths?